Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 060. Yes, this is the big Caffeination 60. Long time coming. We fully intended to do this on Sunday night, but I was just too exhausted. In fact, we almost didn't make it through tonight, but I know one person in particular would have been very upset. So, Fabrice, here's your podcast, all right? Yeah, we're titling this one Gremlins on the Wings after the... I don't know. All right, let me backtrack here a little. I don't know how many of you people out there know the origin of the term Gremlins on the Wings, but we're going to start off with something about that today. Gremlins on the Wings was a term from back in World War II when people used to, in Great Britain and over the European front of the Great War, used to blame malfunctions in airplanes on what they deemed to be gremlins or little mischievous beings on the wings. In fact, they used to say that they saw them actually sitting on the wings during the flight, ripping things off, throwing things off the sides, and it's largely been determined to be the result of overwork, loss of sleep, or lack of sleep, you know, the whole nine yards, all of which we've been experiencing here, and not necessarily the overworked part, just way too many... Whoa! And the mic just decided to flip around there. All right, just way too many things going on in my life at any one point in time. In fact, if I had to do last week all over again, I probably would have held off on... Okay, that was weird. Probably would have held off on doing a couple of the projects around the house if I had known that I was going to be working as much as I had to over the weekend. And you know what? Things have to get done, so... It's all going to be well and good once we hit this weekend and I can sleep in just a little bit. weird little story about it. I was thinking so much about how I'm going to configure my labs and how everything has to be working perfectly and right that the one night my wife woke up in the middle of the night to me yelling at her that that software wouldn't work with that configuration, and that I was running around, physically running around in the bed, and I had a dream about running around in the lab trying to install software in different places. So, yeah, I think maybe I was living a little bit too much in work in my head there, so had to take a step back when I got home, had to just be with my wife for a little bit, turned off the computers. It was a very good experience all the way around, so we're trying a couple new things here around the house, trying to get away from work mentally and physically when I'm not there, so not checking email as much as I used to. I'm a bit of an email addict, so we're seeing where this takes us. Also, we're going to be coming up on a time where I'm not going to be in work for around 2 to 3 weeks due to the impending birth of our first child, which, after tonight's doctor appointment, seems to be getting closer and closer. Wife's doing fine, everything's on schedule, and the doctor told us that we're going to have a large baby, which doesn't really surprise me. All the babies in our family were very large. So a Wii Tech is on the way. And JV, if you're listening to this one, no, it's not Wii, W-I-I. As I told you on more than one occasion, we called the child the Wii because everybody got offended by us calling it It. Since we don't know the gender of said child. So Wii, W-E-E, as in Wii One, Wii Folk, that whole thing. When we first found out that we were pregnant, we decided to call it the Wii before Nintendo changed the Revolution to the Wii. So hope that clears up any misconceptions or whatever else might be out there right about now. But alright, yeah, this is a great show we have lined up for you here tonight. We're not going to be doing any music just because I really didn't have any time tonight to properly go through all the music that I wanted to, because if you've been listening to the Caffeination here for a little while, you know that we've had issues with music that hasn't been properly screened before, so we're going to take issue with that whole thing and just hold off for a little bit on the music. There will be music on the next show, Caffeination 61. Now's a good time to tell you that the Caffeination is a proud member, there it is, of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this podcast if you're listening to it on the stream over at If you're listening to it, the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, you can find this podcast at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can send us a listener comment, email, suggestion, or whatever else at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can join our MySpace friends account over at myspace.com/caffeination. My personal blog's over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. So, all right, I think we got most of that stuff out of the way. We have a great lineup for you tonight, a whole bunch of tech tidbits, a couple announcements right off the bat in tech tidbits, so we'll get to them very shortly, a little bit of TPN info, a couple things from the caffeinated bits section, and then we're going to head on out of here sans music tonight, as I already told you why. So, first of all, we'd like to thank everybody who sent in comments after we neglected to post the Sunday show. Almost to a person, they were positive, saying, you know what, take all the time you need to rest up. So, thank you everyone who sent anything in. I greatly appreciate it. I mean, I'm always seriously worried about losing listeners and everything because I miss a show or something like that. So, it takes a lot for me to actually miss a show. Like tonight, I really didn't feel up to it. Still haven't gotten back to being myself, but I was much more in control of my mental faculties than I have been at any point over the past couple weeks. So, I decided to give it a shot. We'll see exactly how this one runs here. Alright, well, first up in the tech tidbit section, we have kind of a sobering note here, but the proprietor of the Geek News Central podcast, Todd Cochran, if you've ever listened to that podcast, it's a wonderful show with a whole bunch of IT news, gadget info, basically similar to this show. It's one of the longer running podcasts out there since, I believe, the end of 2004. Todd's father passed away rather unexpectedly this past week. So if you've ever listened to his show, head on over to geeknewscentral.com and express your condolences to him in the comments section or whatever else. I know Todd's a real good guy and trying hard to make everything fit together, but you know, everybody needs to spend time with their family when you see something like this happen. There's a little bit more of an explanation. I don't want to bring this show down. Just wanted to kind of express my family's condolences to Todd and his. We really feel for you in this time, and we hope that everything works out for the best, if there is such a thing in this kind of occasion. So, from that's from my family to yours, Todd. I hope everything works out all right for you. On to a slightly lighter note, I just really wanted to say that right up front, pretty much, because I don't believe in, you know, just keeping the two worlds separate. Todd's also one of the people who runs, and in fact, the founder of the Tech Podcast Network, so it's only right that we make that kind of announcement here. All right, back to work. Again, a little bit more of original content here, but I know everybody out there, you like at the end of a project, especially one that you've been working on for a long time, you like that sense of accomplishment. You like that feeling that I can't believe after all that work and the times where you didn't think something was going to get done. After everything's done and you step back and you look at it, and somebody maybe not associated with the project that you were working on takes a look at it and goes, oh, wow, that's a pretty good idea, or that's a good job. I don't think I can accurately describe that feeling, especially if you're not a programmer out there, because you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that go into some of these projects that we undertake is pretty amazing. I had one of those moments in work this past week. I've been working on a project for approximately 9 months. A whole bunch of stuff went into it. A whole bunch of different people had to help out to make it work and make it did what it did, and everything worked out correctly. So far, I've been getting nothing positive feedback on it, and now I only have to really collect my thoughts and say, all right, that worked great. You had a half second to pat yourself on the back. All right, version 2.0, what are you doing now? What did you do for me this week? So I just wanted to kind of share that with everybody out there and see exactly if anybody else had any kind of feelings of accomplishment over the past couple months or anything like that, or if you even know what I'm talking about. I mean, maybe it's just a little bit of a, you know, pat myself on the back even more, but I don't know. I really enjoyed working on that kind of project. I really enjoyed that feeling at the end of it, and I think maybe the longer that you work on a project, that the harder you strive and the more obstacles you had to go overcome make it that much more worthwhile at the end. So taking that and putting it into context with other things in my life, I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of positive things in the very near future. All right, and now the other huge time sink in my life. Yes, my brother-in-law, as I said, bought me Madden 2007 for the Xbox 360. Oh my lord, what a serious waste of time that is. That sucks me in. The wife's been sitting on the couch reading, trying to get comfortable, and I've been doing nothing but playing video games after I get home from work. Yeah, I know most people would say, well, the last thing I'd want to do is stare at a screen or anything like that. Well, you're not me. I mean, the one time I actually came home, flipped open the laptop, and started looking at things on YouTube. So, I don't know. It's just such a wonderful game. We're actually going to be doing a full in-depth review and with a guest presenter here on the podcast in the very near future of Madden 2007 and a couple other things. We're going to do a whole show on video games and video game-related information and news. So hope to bring you that and have kind of a roundtable discussion here, see exactly where people stand on things, what people think are interesting. So if you have any suggestions for the video game show, please feel free to email them at caffeination@gmail.com. I'd be glad to include your comments, suggestions, whatever else. So, all right, on to the next little section here in the Tech Tidbits. What do we got going? Yeah, I was on MySpace the other day just kind of trying to check and make sure nobody else was, everything was fine. Nobody I knew had anything going on that I needed to be aware of, because I still have some friends who actually send me MySpace links and send me MySpace messages as opposed to sending me email, which I still haven't been able to figure out. But I got this one friend request and a message from someone who looked pretty familiar, and I clicked on their profile, and they didn't have any of the schools that I went to or anything like that, and I was like, all right, I wonder who this person is. And they had a link there, and stupidly, I clicked on the link, and it opened up a porn site. So, all right, so MySpace spam has entered into the porn genre. This is going to be their porn period. Because I had friend requests from approximately 8 people, and after I looked at the links in their profile and everything, all directly linked back to different porn sites, I was like, wow, MySpace is really maturing as a medium. And you know, once that kind of stuff gets involved, once teenagers and other fickle consumers start seeing that kind of shift, they're going to be moving away to the next greatest and more interesting thing that's a little bit... It's not necessarily cleaner, but most people want MySpace to be, I don't know, more of a personalized thing. And the fact that they have all these marketing profiles out there now, and that now you're getting spam from porn companies and all other kinds of crazy things, I mean, yeah, there's probably a certain demographic that speaks directly to, especially some of the more lonely computer geeks out there, but still, it's just kind of, it cheapens the whole experience. Yeah, I know, everybody's going to be saying, yeah, how do you cheapen MySpace? Well, this is well on the way. This is a good start to doing so. All right, let's see, what else do we have here? All right, Google, it says free is free, and Google has decided to, I don't know, that little bit of background on this whole subject. Google has been doing something called Google Books. They're scanning different books from around the world, libraries and everything like that. They're working with Harvard, Stanford, a whole bunch of different university libraries, and scanning all the books in their catalog to make them searchable. Not necessarily so that you could, you know, read them online or anything, but if you're looking for certain kinds of information, you'd be able to see snippets out of the book. Wonderful idea, huge copyright problems. So what Google basically did is now they're offering for availability PDFs of books that are in the public domain. So kind of like Project Gutenberg of not too long ago, which I believe is still up there, but kind of like Project Gutenberg, but yeah, you can download and print these PDFs. So I have an article on there over at CNET News, so we'll see exactly how this works out. I haven't actually tried any of them, and I might try one tomorrow, and of course I'm going to try one of my favorite classics of all time, the Beowulf. We'll see exactly if they have that one in there. Probably should do just a little search for Google Books, see if we actually come up with anything, but still. Yeah, Google Book Search, and it seems relatively clean. Yeah, this is all live, folks. There you go. You can just search for Beowulf, and they have different printings of it and everything, and they have all the covers and everything, so it's wonderful. They have different translations, so I wonder exactly what you can see here. Yeah, this is a full PDF of a 1999 printing of Beowulf. And I think they have about 15 different printings of them up here. So that's pretty impressive, I must say. So, all right, head on over to that article, or you can just do a search for Google Books and search for whatever book that you might be looking for to see if it's in the public domain. We've talked about this before here in the Caffeination, but Open Office, it's the office suite that, is basically open source. It's free to download, so they now have something called Open Office Premium. Now, I wasn't originally going to report on this one, because what it does is basically it adds some clip art, adds a whole bunch of functionality, and more Microsoft Office style of things. It also adds a significantly larger footprint. So for what it does, it now has a 441 meg footprint on your computer. A footprint basically is how much space that it takes up on the hard drive. It also uses about twice as much memory as Word specifically when you fire it up. But still, just wanted to dispel the myth. Even though it says OpenOffice Premium, it's just a better product. It doesn't mean they charge any more for it. Apparently, it's still free, so again, we're going to be doing a review on that one. Hopefully have that up very shortly. We're also going to be including reviews from other members of the Tech Podcast Network in the very near future. We're kind of trying to do a link exchange program with some of the people out there. We're going to be putting up reviews, and you might hear our voice on a different podcast. You're going to be hearing a couple other different voices on this podcast, provided they fit into the different genre that we're trying to do for each show. That's just a little bit of a heads up on the Open Office thing. All right, now on to the next thing. We have two little space articles here today, and then one non-one. But all right, apparently NASA is trying to crash a Smart One probe into the moon. Now, I never really understood this, and maybe somebody can explain it to me, but why is it that whenever our space program decides they want to study something, they have to crash a billion-dollar space program, or space capsule, into it? I mean, how much information can you get from one destructive act as opposed to a somewhat less invasive landing craft? I don't know. It just doesn't seem very... it doesn't seem very logical, and given everything else that, you know, NASA's supposed to do, you know, it seems kind of counterintuitive at different points. So I don't really know. Maybe somebody can explain that to me, because I remember when they crashed the probe into Jupiter, which I could actually see why they would do that, because they wanted to get information from Jupiter's lower atmosphere, and the only way to do that is to send a probe in there. And the gravity is so great that it would not be able to survive the trip. We've been to the moon, supposedly, except for that soundstage theory, but why? What's the point in crashing something there? Just land a little rover there, start drilling, you can do the same thing. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to be... I don't know. It also seems to... I don't know. Unless you're going to do it on the side of the moon, which is aesthetically pleasing, you know, like the other side, I don't really see that as a brilliant idea. It brings back the... memories of this one really crazy cartoon, Inspector Gadget, from when I was a kid. Showing my age here, but mid-80s probably. There was one Inspector Gadget movie, I believe it was, where Dr. Claw was trying to place dynamite all around the moon and blow up the face of the organization he worked for, MAD, into the moon, so that it forever changed the face of the man in the moon. Just kind of, I don't know, it mars the image that our ancestors have seen. You know what I mean? I mean, this could just be me, and it's probably not even going to be noticeable, even in the slightest bit. But as soon as you start to do that, I mean, as soon as you look up in the night sky, next time you're outside, nice full moon, look up, and if you're lucky enough to be in an area without a lot of light pollution, just look at the moon and think, you know what? This is the exact same heavenly body. This is the exact same orb that mankind has looked at through thousands of years, has gazed up in wonder at. This is the exact same moon that Neil Armstrong went up there and supposedly landed on in One Small Step and all that. So you're going to send something up there to blow up a very small portion of that. So it's going to be ever so slightly modified. So it's not going to really be that same moon. Your children aren't going to necessarily see that same moon. I mean, maybe it's the whole philosophical thing that's supposed to happen to people when they have kids. You know, there's nothing like having a child in your arms and looking up and knowing that you will live forever. No, that's not necessarily this. This is just, you know, it's for continuity's sake. Why blow up the moon? I don't know. We'll see exactly where that one ends up. All right, another little thing we've reported on here in the past, gone back and forth on whether or not Pluto's still going to be a planet. Apparently, it's not going to be a full planet, and it's going to be a dwarf planet. And there are now three other heavenly bodies which are vying for the same status, and I believe they actually attained it. One of which is Charon, the moon currently in orbit around Pluto, because Pluto and Charon kind of orbit each other. The other one is UB313, also known as Xena, which is a planet further out from Pluto. And, oh, by the way, Xena's tentatively named moon itself is named Gabriella. Yes, after the horrible show of the mid-90s, Xena the Warrior Princess. Yes, that's what the scientists named it after. Wonderful. I'm sure Lucy Lawless is very proud of that. She has a moon named after a character, or a planet, dwarf planet now named after a character. And the other one is, Ceres. It's a large asteroid in the asteroid belt in between Mars and Jupiter. So there you go. Pluto is no longer one of the great eight, as I suppose they now are. And I always used to wonder, and looking at the history books and looking at when my grandfather was born. He was born in 1928. It's like, wow, when Gramps was born, there were only 8 planets and 48 states. So when I was born, there was 9 planets and 50 states. And when my child's going to be born, we're going to be right back down to 8, but still at 50. So that's kind of weird. Just a little something a little something to think about, little food for thought as you get through your week here. And last thing, there's no link on this one specifically for a very good reason, but we have it listed as Apple Fun. Apparently, someone has come up with a new way to defeat the DRM around iTunes. Now, for those of you who don't know, basically the DRM limits the playability of tracks that you buy from the ITMS, iTunes Music Store. So if you purchase a track from there, you can only play it on an Apple-approved device, which is basically a computer running iTunes or an iPod. That's it. You cannot play it on anything else. So what they did was they found a way to strip the controls or the limits out of these songs. Now, they're not doing this to pirate the songs because your information's still in there. No. They're doing it to it's called fair play. It's a way of getting what you deserve. They say if you buy the music, you should have rights to fair use. Fair use is defined, at least by these people's standards, and I believe by the government's standards, as a free and unfettered personal use. There's no performance involved or anything else like that. This is just being able to move your media rather from one medium to another. So interesting. You can search on that. There were articles up on Engadget and Slashdot. I'm pretty sure they're going to be high up on the radar there. Haven't seen it on Dig yet, but still, it was interesting. That just about wraps up the tech tidbits section here at the Caffeination. Running at almost 24 minutes here. Doing pretty good, I must say. It's kind of weird without the music, don't you think? All right, on to the TPN info, Tech Podcast Network information. This show, as always, is a proud member of Blueberry. It's a social podcasting network site. All the shows over there are specifically listed and apply to be listed over there. They all maintain their own site. So it's no large conglomerate of listings. It's an interesting little place to check out there. You should head on over to BLUBRRY. That's Blueberry without the E's. And one more final time, only a couple more times we're going to ask people to do this. We have a link up on our homepage and in the show notes and as well as in the email that we send out to everybody. By the way, a little small aside here, if you'd like to be on our email list, the only thing you're going to get is notices about podcasts. That's it. We're not going to sell your email address. All I do is slap your email address into a BCC field on a twice weekly email, and you will get the show notes in your inbox. So that's about the long and the short of that. Send me an email at caffeination@gmail.com and ask me to add you, and no problem, we'll do right away. But here's what we'd like to do. Now, there's a marketing survey on our website, www.caffeination.com. It's down on the right-hand side of the page. It says Take 5. We're asking that our listeners, please, if you have a little extra time on your hands, head on over there and take the marketing survey for us. It helps us to attract advertisers that speak to the listeners of this show. Now, I thought long and hard about why you would want to do this, you know, why you would want to necessarily fill out this kind of advertising survey. And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? There's a lot of the podcasts that I stopped listening to because the ads that were on them were intrusive and didn't really make any sense to me personally. I mean, for instance, there was a couple podcasts that had an advertisement for a car, and it was a technology podcast. I mean, cars can be technological, that yes, but I don't know. It just didn't seem to jive, if you know what I mean. So what we're trying to do is attract advertisers and advertisements that speak directly to the people who listen to the show. So we'd ask the people, please fill that out. If you have the time or the inclination, we're not going to be bugging you about it too much longer. All right, and now on to the caffeinated bit section today. Hopefully we're going to bring this one in around 35 minutes, and then you can head on your merry way. All right, first link up there. Again, more original content for your ears. We have the end of the road when caffeine stops working. Now, I know every programmer, student, architect, whatever else out there worth their salt has beaten the hell out of their body to a certain point where not even caffeine can resurrect what you are trying to do. And I reached that point last week. Actually, about a day ago, I was drinking coffee in the middle of the day and got nothing. I was still half asleep. And in fact, tonight was another one of those nights. My brother-in-law was over. We were playing Madden, and I was sitting in the chair waiting for him to do something on the console, and I fell asleep. I woke up, and it was like 20 minutes later. I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous. And I had a cup of coffee in my hand as I fell asleep, and I just couldn't believe it. There's nothing that caffeine can do at this point to counteract the environmental factors that currently exist in my life. So the only thing I can do is hope and pray for Friday night into Saturday morning and pass out for a good 10 or 11 hours. And it's something that I've done periodically throughout my life. I have so many different things going, so many different candles burning that every once in a while you just get caught up with everything, and there's this great conjunction where everything all comes together and you wear your body down to a nub, you know what I mean? So we're kind of hitting that point here. So I just wanted to kind of put a little public service announcement out there. If you're out there and you need to take that extra 5 seconds in the morning to just collect yourself before you head out the door, please do so. Because yeah, there's been a couple mornings this week where I have no clue what I was doing. Don't even remember driving to work. Barely remember where I parked the car. So, all right. Another thing here we have is for those people who are trying to extend the caffeine buzz, shall we say, I know we've said this before, but I just want to kind of throw it out there again. The best way to do that is to have a high protein meal right before you drink your caffeine. Sorry about that, but right before you drink or imbibe your caffeine, nicotine's actually also supposed to help, but not that we support smoking here or anything like that, but still, it's a wonderful little tidbit to know about the protein. So if you have a nice big steak dinner and you want a cup of coffee or two, you're probably going to be a lot more awake and a lot more alert in the very near future as opposed to somebody who had a sugary dessert. Mainly because sugar and carbs and everything like that, they're a real quick burst of energy. They're a real high, you know, kind of like if you have a whole bunch of Pixie Sticks or something like that, you get a good buzz on, if you know what I mean. And then you hit that point where you're like, oh yeah, I'm ready to go, I'm raring to get zzzz. and you're like a record player that the batteries just die on. All of a sudden, everything slows down to a crawl, and you have no choice. It is inevitable that you are going to crash. I think my body's trying to tell me that it's inevitable that I'm going to crash tonight. But we're still going strong here. It's 30 minutes running on. And finally, the last story for tonight is no givesies, backsies. Apparently, Starbucks released a coupon for free iced coffee to a limited number of employees and their friends and families in the southeastern United States. The promotion worked well beyond what Starbucks had thought of. In fact, the coupons made their way out of the direct area in which it was supposed to be. And as of now and from now forward, Starbucks is no longer honoring those coupons. Apparently, they posted a loss in their stocks company portfolio last quarter or whatever it was, and they're trying to recoup a little bit. Apparently, all the frosty drinks take so much longer to make in the morning as opposed to the hot piping ones. Man, my body's catching up with me. All right, wrapping this up. All the frosty drinks take so much longer to prepare in the morning that people were getting frustrated and walking away, finding their coffee and caffeine fix elsewhere. All right, well, that wraps it up here on the Caffeination 060. Gremlins on the wings. We are not quite there yet, but you know what I mean? You can email us at caffeination@gmail.com and give us all your listener feedback. You can head on over to our website and find this podcast, as well as a whole bunch of other links at www.caffeination.com. You can join our MySpace Friends account over at myspace.com/caffeination, and you can read my personal thoughts on things over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.